Good morning, everybody. Boker Tov. Thank you all for coming. A few brief and important announcements. First of all, we're very grateful that the Shir has been sponsored today. It has been sponsored by the Friedson family, and the learning is sponsored in loving memory of Dov Beb and Shimon Alter by the Friedson family, and please God, it should be an aliyah for the neshama, and we should learn some good Torah in his memory. I also have a technical announcement to make. A couple of people have asked me to make sure that people have turned off their phones. If I could just remind you of that, we've turned on the air conditioning, so we should be, and if anyone didn't get a sheet, there are a few extras here. Bakasha, pass them down a little bit. Thank you. Who else didn't get? Fine. You guys can use them. Fine. I'll give you the rest. Now, as promised last week, the shiurim leading up to Shavuot, not quite at Rosh Hashanah yet. The shiurim leading up to Shavuot will change topic completely. We've been talking for the last few weeks about musical issues. We're now moving into more technological issues. And I'd like to talk about electricity issues specifically related to Shabbat. Somebody told me that they felt this was an extremely current issue. I'm grateful for that contribution. I'm not entirely sure about that. I can guarantee it will be a high voltage shear, and it has certainly a lot of potential, but nothing shocking. The truth is that electricity is surrounds us everywhere, and as time goes on, it surrounds us more and more. It's difficult sometimes if you're in a hotel now to even go to the bathroom without things turning on all around you. There are so many new innovations that come in on a monthly basis, it seems. We have to get a grip on a little bit on what is the issue with electricity. And next week, please God, I want to relate it specifically to the issue of microphones and look in more depth at microphones. Microphones in shul, hearing aids, induction loop issues, which is relevant for many people. And then the week after to deal with another technological issue related to that. But first this week we need to get a general understanding of what is the issue with electricity on Shabbat. And actually there are fewer sources on today's sheet than normal, which some of you will be happy with, but they're more complicated. It's an extremely detailed issue. I shall do my best with the knowledge of physics that I have, which is no more than O-level, if that means anything to you. But nevertheless, I will do the best I can to make it clear, and certainly on the halachic side, which is also very complex. So first of all, if you look at the sheet, I've listed on the front page the things that you'll be aware of already, which are the issues that arise concerning electricity, not just on Shabbat, but generally. And I've listed many. First of all, in terms of malachot on Shabbat, things that we're not allowed to do on Shabbat, we'll have to look today at what is the issue with connecting and breaking an electrical circuit. Time switches we're not looking at specifically today, but that's more and more relevant. The use of lights on Shabbat, in the old days filament lights, then fluorescent lights, now LED, light emitting diode, LED lights, other lights, maybe chemical generation of lights, heating, cooking, what's with microwaves, solar heaters, central heating, of course cell phones around us all the time. What is the deal with cell phones? Are they the same halachically as the old-fashioned telephone? Is that the same issue? Computers? Is that better than, for example, for doctors to be able to use computers to write notes? Is that better than them writing by hand? Hearing aids and microphones I've already mentioned. Electronic keys. This is more and more of a problem. Sometimes in hotels you can find a way in and out on a temporary basis, or they'll give you an old-fashioned key, less and less. But for example, with student accommodation in many places, this has become a critical issue. There is no other option for students in many new accommodations than electronic keys. There is nothing else they can do. The question then arises for Shom Shabbos students, how are they going to get in and out of their dorms? It's not just like...
Put some tape on the lock.
Not so straightforward. I know students don't own very much necessarily, but still, they don't want to just leave the doors open. Security equipment, metal detectors, cameras, motion sensors. How can you walk around a room without little lights bleeping wherever you go? Bells and chimes, elevators we might talk about in a couple of weeks, dishwashers, radio screens, watches, etc. There are other issues as well. We're not talking about this. We did a few years ago talk about electric menorahs on Hanukkahs, and there are questions of what kind of light qualifies as light for halakhic purposes, for Ner Hanukkah, for Ner Shabbos, for Ner Havdalah. We talked about that, and we're not going to revisit that. Can you use electrical power to do certain mitzvahs? We talked about baking machine masses a few weeks ago. What about filling the mikveh through electricity? What about making tzitzis? Shaving, electric shavers, does that make a difference? What about using electronic media to do mitzvahs? For example, microphones in order to hear brachot, or to read the Megillah, or to lane, if you lane through an amplification system, or to do kiddushim or a kinyan, does that work? And next week we'll talk a little bit about that. What about erasing the Shem Hashem? If you write Yud K Vav K on a computer screen, in large letters, and then press delete, is there anything wrong with that? Did you do anything wrong? It's on a computer screen. Call Isha through a microphone, we talked a little bit about last time, other issues too. And kashrus, there are questions that come up, kashering meat using electricity, tefillah, we maybe should talk about this one day, tefillah on electrical and electronic items. How does that work? What do you do with your toaster or your kettle, etc.? If you dunk it in the mikveh, will it come back alive? That's not for today, but they're all issues that that arise. So if you go over to page 2, I brought you just a little bit at the beginning of what is electricity, and I'm sure it's a lot more complicated than the presentation I'm going to give, but basically it works like this. All matter is made up of atoms. The atoms obviously are extremely small, and they themselves are made up effectively of a nucleus, which contains certain smaller particles, mostly protons, which are positively charged, and neutrons, which are neutral, and electrons that buzz around the nucleus. Back in school, they tell us it's a bit like the planets orbiting the sun, but of course it's not really like that. The electrons are in a cloud, and you can get into all sorts of interesting uncertainty principles as to, do you know exactly where they are? Do they know exactly where they are? That's not for now. But they're buzzing around this atom, and they're negatively charged. Many times in many different materials, the electrons are quite carefully locked in around the nucleus, and you can't really move them. But in some materials, those electrons are more easily pushed off. They're more loosely connected with the nucleus, and what you can do is if you give them a push using some kind of electrical potential, you can push the electron off to the next atom, to the next atom, to the next atom, and what you end up with is a very fast wave of negative charge running through as the electrons move from one atom to the next atom. This moves extremely quickly through a circuit. The electrons themselves also move, but rather more slowly. They don't whiz around the circuit as fast, but if you imagine it like, rather than like an empty pipe with water going through it, imagine a full pipe full of water, and then you highly pressurize some water at one end, so that water will push everything else, and water will squirt out of the other end. It's not this water that you put in that squirts out of the other end, but the pressure will cause the whole system to spurt water out of the other end. It's not, of course, exactly like this, but what you end up with is an electrical flow going through a circuit, running from the negative to the positive. And I brought you some little diagrams there that will help make it a little bit clearer to how that works. Now, when we get into the halachic side of stuff, we have to raise some new questions. There really was no concept. Electricity was only discovered really in the last couple of hundred years. At the end of the 1800s, people began to create electrical equipment, telephones, microphones, etc. So there are no sources directly dealing with electricity until that period. So how are we going to address that halakhically? We'll have to separately look at turning on electricity, turning off electricity, turning up and turning down. It's not the same thing. Halakhically may be quite different. We'll see. And we also have to fundamentally distinguish between the electricity itself and what it does. For example, at the end of a circuit, there is usually a piece of equipment. That's why we're putting the electricity. We're not connecting circuits just for the fun of connecting circuits. We want something to work at the end of it. Now, that machine that works may, quite independently of the electricity question, do something that you're not allowed to do. For example, on Shabbat, there are many of the 39 melachas which are now done through machines. Think of lights or ovens or power drills, power saws, milking machines, typewriters, washing machines, food processors, lawn mowers, shavers, sewing machines, bread makers, etc. These all do some of the 39 melachas, and therefore you won't be allowed to turn them on, not because of the electricity, but because there's a power saw doing something at the end of it, or there's a light going on, or there's an oven going on. That will be independently prohibited. What's more interesting, we're going to look at mostly today, is what if there's nothing going on at the end of the circuit, which is fundamentally prohibited? What if I'm turning on a fan that's just going round, very quietly and not getting hot? Is that a problem? Because there, the fan itself is not in, it's not like a sewing machine or a power saw where the thing it's doing is actually prohibited. The fan's just going round. There's no prohibition independently of making something go round. Or maybe if it's a radio. If I turn on a radio, there's no prohibition on causing sound that maybe Asher Milsa's, the Drabonon, we'll talk about that soon, but there's no malacha of causing sound on Shabbos. So the only problem really will be the electricity itself, and therefore we'll have to ask, what is the issue there? And when we get into Hilchos Shabbos, we mustn't get too bogged down in all of the details, but we'll have to look at some of the principles of Hilchos Shabbos in more detail. For example, what about Kavana? How much does it matter how much you intended? What about a davar she'eino mitkaven? If you do something quite innocently, and then another prohibited activity will perhaps happen because of that. Imagine walking down the street where a light may go on, it may not go on. You don't know exactly where the sensor is. What if it's more than that? What if it's a psikresha? Psikresha literally means cutting off the head. The Gemara has a rather strange case where a father needs to amuse his child, therefore he's going to cut the head off a chicken, says the Gemara, in order for the kid to play with the chicken head. I think you need a bit of cultural reference to understand exactly how that works, but let's assume this was something which made sense to the kid. Can you cut the head off the chicken and say, listen, I don't want the chicken to die. I like this chicken. It's my favorite chicken. I just need a head for the kid. Or do you turn around and say, well, I'm sorry, cutting off the head to make a toy is going to make the chicken die. It's a psikresha. It's inevitable. Psikresha came to mean it's inevitable. Can you turn around and say if something is inevitable, oh, I didn't really want it to happen. Come on, who are you kidding? You know it's going to happen. That's a question that comes out. What about if the activity is indirect? We call this groma, which is I'm not actually making this happen, but I'm setting in stage a number of different processes which will eventually make something happen. If I shut the dishwasher door when the dishwasher's turned off, but on a time switch it's turning on in about an hour and a half to wash my dishes, but it won't work when the door's open because it has an override system. So shutting the door is effectively the thing that will make the dishwasher work. But it's not going to work for another hour because the time switch is not yet turned on. Is that a problem in and of itself, a grom issue? What if it produces things which are eino mitkayim on Shabbos? They don't last. It makes a spark which lasts a millisecond and then disappears. Does that count? Is that a problem? What if it's a shinui? I don't normally do it this way. What about muksa? And what about more general issues of uvdim dechol? This is a difficult one to actually define, but sometimes Chazar came along and said, well, there's nothing technically about this which is a malacha on Shabbat, but it's kind of wochendik, as they say in Yiddish. It's not Shabbatik, it's uvdim dechol, it's a weekday type activity. That's not just a made up idea, that's a real category of halacha. How do we define this and what are we going to put into that? What are we not going to put into that? When do we say cheapen Shabbos? It's a zilusa de Shabsa. How do you define what cheapen Shabbos? It's a moving target to some degree. And are there larger meta-halachic, hashkafic issues which are, maybe there's nothing specifically wrong with this, but I don't think we should do it because it doesn't feel right. It doesn't seem to make a Shabbatic atmosphere. It's very interesting. There are, in different communities right now in the Jewish world, in some of the non-halachic communities, which do not keep Hilchos Shabbos, there's something of a move to try and find a way to not use the phones on Shabbos, to turn off the phones, the recognition that Hilchos Shabbos helps you tune out of the weekday life. And in some of the Orthodox communities, there's the opposite move, which is to try and find ways of, well, the cell phone's probably not as author as we think it is. It's very interesting how these two communities in a certain sense are trying to move in opposite directions, we need to have a little bit of think about that. So turn over the page to page 3 and 4. Let's start with 3. I'm not going to spend very long on this because this is the easy bit. So I'm going to quite quickly gloss over this. Turning on lights on Shabbos is actually very straightforward, because back in the old day where there was a filament in your light bulb, which means there's a little piece of metal that gets hot. First of all, the reason it gets hot is quite simple. If you push electricity through a very thin wire, the thinner the wire, the greater the resistance, and the resistance will cause the energy to come out as heat rather than just pass through as electricity. The metal begins to glow, it turns red, it turns white, hey presto, you have light. That's how lights used to work. And taking a piece of metal and making it glow is actually clearly prohibited on Shabbos. If anyone ever says to you, oh, well, Chazal never had lights, how did they decide that lights were prohibited on Shabbos? That's an easy question to answer, because they may not have had lights, but they surely had glowing metal. Looking number one for a second, the Yerushalmi says, Tani Adam, Anuba Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ashashot Shel Barzel, they used to have these large pieces of iron. Hayu Martichin Oto, the Erev Yom Kippur, they'd heat them up to make them very, very hot on Erev Yom Kippur. Umatilin Letoch HaTonin, and they would put them in the cold water on Yom Kippur, so that they would take the chill off the cold. Why are we interested in that? Because the Kohen Gadol has to go to the mikveh multiple times on Yom Kippur. It can be quite cool on Yom Kippur occasionally. We want to take the chill off the water. This was one way to heat up the water on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, really? You're going to take hot metal and push it in water? Is that allowed? Says the Gemara, V'loi nimtzikam achabe b'yom kippurim. Aren't you doing the melacha of extinguishing? Yom Kippur has the same melachot as Shabbat. Chag is a little bit different because you're allowed to cook and do other things, but Yom Kippur is the same as Shabbat. How are you allowed to take metal and push it in water on Yom Kippur? Ela, rather, it comes out as clearly a machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda Sava Meimashe Ein told us Eish Ke'esh. There's clearly an opinion that a derivative of Eish is not like Eish. If you heat up metal with fire, the metal itself is not classified as Eish. V'Rabban and Savrina, and the other view clearly is, that told us Eish Ke'esh. That if you heat up metal on Shabbat, that's equivalent to Eish. That is fire. It may not be fire in the classic sense of looks like a fire, a flame, but it is halachically a tolder. It is a derivative of Eish. And this is a machlokas in the Gemara, and we clearly pass him that tolder's Eish is like Eish. The Rambam says in number 2, the Gemara says in number 2, Bishul Psila Hu, if you're heating up metal, Amar Rav Sheshis, Mali Bishul Psila, this is a slightly separate issue to Eish, if I'm heating up metal, why do I care if it's metal? Mali Bishul Samani, why do I care if it's food or herbs? Meaning heating anything up on Shabbos is not just Eish, but it's also Bishul. Now, Bishul cooking, we associate with, I don't know, you put an egg on the stove, that's Bishul. What if you put a piece of metal on a fire and make it glow very hot? Is that Bishul? Says the Gemara, yeah, why do I care? If it gets hot, it gets hot. If it cooks, cooks doesn't just mean food, cooks can be other things as well. And that's, by the way, the halacha. If you take your wet clothes, which you've just come in from the rain, and you throw them over your radiator and all the water steams off the clothes, that can be an issue of Bishul. What are you cooking? You're cooking your raincoat. No, you're not really cooking your raincoat. You're cooking water in the raincoat. That's also an issue, even though it's not for food. And this is how we paskin. The Rambam says in number 3, Hamachamim et habarazel, if you decide on Shabbos to heat up metal, kidei letzarfo b'mayim, because you wish to temper it in water, push it in water afterwards, harizeh told us ma'avir, that is called eish on Shabbos, v'chayev, and it's doraisa. And the Ravid immediately jumps in and says, "V'lam aloy mishum mevashel?" And why isn't it also called cooking? And the answer is, it is. The Rambam also passes in number 5. It's also called cooking. And the Mishnah Brura in number 6 explains in the Sharatzion that it depends on the stage of the process. When you heat up metal, first it gets soft, that's the bishul, and then it glows, that's the eish, and you end up doing 2 malachas for the price of 1. The Chazon Ish has a slightly different approach, and he says that maybe it depends on your intention. The Rambam said if your intention there is to temper the metal. What if your intention is not? What if your intention is to create light? Is that the same thing? But the consensus of the poskim is that if you're turning on a filament light bulb on Shabbat, that is prohibited. It's prohibited because of Eish, that's the malacha of Mavir. It's prohibited because of Bishul, that's the malacha of Bishul, and therefore there's no question at all, turning on the lights, if they're filament lights, will be a major halachic problem. Now, by the way, Yontef is a separate Shiloh, and even though clearly the Poskim agree today that Yontef also, there is a prohibition of turning on the light, there were authorities early in the days of electricity, the Aruch HaShulchan is one, and there were others, who felt that actually maybe there is no problem of turning on the lights on Yontef, not Shabbos, but on Yontef, because the way they understood electricity is the following. They said, look, electricity is like Aish, is like fire. Inside the wires, inside the walls, there's Aish waiting to get out. When you turn on the circuit, when you turn on the light, the Aish rushes out of the walls into the light and turns on the light. That's like transferring from one flame, an existing flame, to another flame, and therefore on Shabbat, of course, that's prohibited, but on Chag, that would be permitted. You're allowed to take a match, light it from an existing flame, light another candle, etc. That is not the way that electricity works. It is not Aish inside the walls. It's not hot in any sense inside the walls. And therefore, quite quickly, the Poskim came down in the early 20s, 30s, 40s. Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who was a very important early writer on the issue of electricity, and said, no. That's not how electricity works. It is prohibited on Yontef. It's a new Aish. There is a problem, and therefore the consensus today is that turning on the lights is prohibited on Yontef as well, not just on Shabbat, although the prohibition may be a little bit different. That's clearly turning on the lights. Turning up the lights, go over to page 4, maybe a slightly different Shaila, because if light, turning on a filament light bulb, is Aish, then if you take an Aish and you make it higher on Shabbos, is that prohibited? Yes, that is still prohibited. But if it's Bishul, do we say Ein Bishul Achar Bishul? Which sounds a bit strange when it comes to an electric light bulb, but if I take pasta which I've cooked on Erev Shabbos and reheat it on Shabbos, if it's fully cooked before Shabbos, then there is no problem with Bishul because I'm simply reheating something which is already cooked. Do we say Ein Bishul Achar Bishul with metal? And the answer is, Chazanish again says clearly no, we don't say that, and it will be a problem of turning up the lights as well, and therefore the consensus is really turning up the lights is also prohibited, either because of fire or because of Bishul on Shabbos. However, turning off or turning down the lights, and I'm not going to spend very long on this, will probably be a rabbinic prohibition, because the prohibition of mechaba, extinguishing, of kibui on Shabbos, the Gemara is very clear, and Rashi makes clear, and the Poskim agree, that the only Torah prohibition of extinguishing Shabbos is for the purpose of creating charcoal, or making the wicks more susceptible to be lit. If you're extinguishing for any other reason with another agenda, that is called a malacha she'ena tzricha lagufa. I'm not getting into all of the technicalities now. And that will be a rabbinic prohibition according to most. The Rambam says it's also Doraita. It's clearly very serious. It's also prohibited, but maybe on a slightly different level, which may make a difference halachically if you're dealing with people who are sick. It won't make any difference on a regular daily basis, but if there are people who are sick for whom you have certain dispensations to do rabbinic prohibitions, that may make a difference turning down, turning off, than turning on, turning up. But I'm really not focusing on that so much today, because that's not really what we're trying to get at. Of course, today it's very hard to actually even buy a filament light bulb. If you go to the shop and say, do you have one of the old style bulbs, they'll either, if they're an older fellow, they'll say, no, we don't stock them anymore, or if it's a younger fellow, I've had to meet, he said, they didn't even know what they were. I don't think you'll have a lot of filament light bulb issues, although there are still filament light bulbs in cars, brake lights and things, I don't know exactly how they work in all cars, but you do sometimes get them. Today we deal with fluorescence, we deal with LEDs, with LED lights, more and more LED lights. And they're coming down in price, and they last basically pretty much forever. And they work completely differently. And without getting into all the details of how they work, clearly the issue of Aish is much less of a concern, because nothing is actually getting hot. In a fluorescent light bulb, you have gas, an inert gas, argon, neon, something like that, which gets excited by electron flows, and it starts emitting light. But it's not hot. You can put your hand around a filament light bulb, there's nothing hot there at all. So Aish is not going to be an issue. And is there a problem of making light on Shabbos? Who said there was a problem of making light on Shabbos? Is that an issue? The old fluorescent light bulbs used to have sparks when you turn them on. Now that clears the problem of sparks. But the new ones don't have that either. Therefore, what's the problem going to be? And even more so, LED lights. LED lights are completely cold. You can put your hand right round them on Shabbos, or any time you like, maybe not on Shabbos, but and they're completely cold. There's nothing hot in them at all. What is the problem going to be? It's not going to be Aish, it's not going to be Bishul. The issue, and this is what I want to spend the rest of the shiur on, is simply going to be the electricity in it. I'm closing a circuit, I'm turning something on. Is that allowed? Is that not allowed? And if it's not allowed, why is that not allowed? So let's leave the Aish and the Bishul and move now into the key question, which is there a problem with turning on and turning off electricity on Shabbat? This first came up, turn to page 5, please, and we'll go now a little bit more in depth into the sources. This first came up in the late 1800s, and the first person to really speak about this was Rav Yitzchak Shmelkes. Rav Yitzchak Shmelkes is a very important posek in Poland in the late 19th century. He wrote a series of tshuvas called the Beth Yitzchak, the Beis Yitzchak, and he deals with the telephone. The telephone, as you know, was patented by Alexander Graham Bell, also Thomas Edison. There was a bit of a competition between them as to who was going to get there. We usually associate Edison with the light bulb, but he did a lot of stuff with telephones as well. But by the late 1800s, people were beginning to have these telephones. I suppose they kind of worked like sort of this at the time. But that's before my time, I must tell you. But the Beis Yitzchak was dealing with telephones. Look at what he says. Number 8. Bedin im rashaim ledaber b'shabbat al yedei mechona hanikret telephone. Are you allowed to speak on the telephone on Shabbos? V'hinei lefiani yisdaiti yesh isur b'davar. It's clear to me, he said, in my opinion, this is prohibited. V'shomer nasho yirchak mizeh. And if you're careful about Shabbos, you won't go speaking on the telephone. Ki milvad mashimuchach hamadaber mechona kazot. Apart from the issue that you can't avoid if you're using this machine. You have to ring a bell. It rings, makes bells ring. When you want to speak, there's a bell that rings. And that's a separate issue on Shabbos, which is creating a loud sounds on Shabbos is prohibited. The Gemara talks about this in a number of different contexts. Having a mill grinding through Shabbos, making a large amount of noise, is called uf shemilta. It's considered cheapening Shabbos. It's making a lot of noise on Shabbos. And he says that bell clearly is a problem. By the way, in parentheses, how much noise is a lot of noise? Obviously, having a loud bell ringing around your house on Shabbos is a lot of noise. What if you have a dishwasher humming gently at a very low pitch in the background? Is that called noise? Well, it makes some noise, but it's not a very loud noise. And therefore, there comes an interesting question as to at what point is it almost imperceptible and therefore not noise anymore. Students have asked me in the past, Motzei Shabbos, they like to call their parents in America, because if their parents don't hear from them every 6 hours, like, who knows, the parents can't sleep at night, right. They don't know what's happening to their kids. I tell my students this is not healthy. You know, I used to speak to my mother 15 minutes a week, even less. I used to go down to Shlom Tzion Amalka from Yeshiva and book an international call and say, hi mum, everything's fine, hope you're well, you know, goodbye. And that was basically it. And now everyone has to speak to everyone every 5 minutes. So what the kids do, the parents ask them, please call me on Motzei Shabbos to tell me that you're all still alive, and leave a message on the answering machine. So the parents are sitting in the middle of their Shabbos lunch in America, and all of a sudden, hi mom, just calling from Yerushalayim to say everything. Is that okay to have that coming out in the middle of Shabbos lunch? Is that a problem of Mashmiya Kol? I'm not really dealing with that now. But he says, apart from the fact that telephones are a problem, yesh laso od mishum da ali deis, this is the key. There's a separate problem here, which is really what we're dealing with. Da ali deis girat zerem ha-elektri. By closing the electric circuit, nolad koach elektri, you create a new electrical force. V'zeh asur b'shabbat. And you're not allowed to do that on Shabbat. Why? And look at what he says. K'mo b'tzechuf v'kasa asherai. And just because we see in the Gemara in Beitza that if you take a cup of scented material, scented as a smell, and put it on top of clothing and make the clothing scented, introduce scent, smell into the clothing, Amrinam b'Beitza, we say Beitza, we'll see the Gemara in a second, Da'asur, and that's prohibited. Why? Mishum d'moilid recha. Molid. Molid means you are creating new, bringing into existence new smell. The clothing didn't used to smell, now it smells nice. Hu hadin, so too, he says, da asur la'asot elektrische Verbindung. you are not allowed to make an elektrische Verbindung b'Shabbos. What's a Verbindung? So that's an interesting question. How do you translate Verbindung? So Verbindung has two connotations. Both like connection, in some sense, and also like a harkava, a combination, not just a chibur. The two things have now combined together. That's really what a Verbindung is. And we'll see soon that this is part of the real issue. So he says, turning on an electrical circuit, he says, I don't care what comes out of the end of it. Whether it's, if it's light, that's obviously a separate problem. But even if it's not independently prohibited, electrical circuits are molid. Now, molid is drabona, not d'oraisa. And that's very important. If we're going to follow Rav Yitzchak Shmelker's, electrical circuits, if nothing else is doing a separate malacha, will be a rabbinic issue. Umihai taimah, for the same reason, he says, ledati, in my opinion, let me tell you something else. There's another newfangled thing coming on the market in the late 19th century. Yesh la'asol asop soda basa. I don't think you should make soda water either on Shabbos. Mishum degam shama moilid harkava chimit. Because you are making, and he translates, a chemische Verbindung, a chemical compound. You are creating a new chemical reality in the water that what started off as H2O, it kind of reminds me of that joke that what he thought was H2A was H2SO4, whatever it is. But the point is that you're creating a new mildly acidic carbonated solution, and that's a chemische Verbindung, he says. You're not allowed to do that. Now, that's very interesting, because if you look at the modern-day poskim, open up the Shmiras Shabbos Kilchasa, he will tell you clearly you are allowed to make soda water on Shabbos. He doesn't even bring an opinion that says you're not allowed to make soda water on Shabbos, which is very interesting. So, but the Beit Yitzchak felt that these two things were equivalent. It may depend how you make the soda water, because in the old days they had powders and this, like that. Now you just pop a little vessel into a, you know, 30 minutes. So it could depend on the way that you make it, yes.
What's this problem of scent on
material? We'll get to it right now. Number 9, look at this source right now. We'll see the scent on the material issue. Says the Gemara in Beit. So he says it's moilid. Says the Gemara in Beit, so this is what he was quoting. Rabba and Rav Yosef, Damish Ravai, who both Rabba and Rav Yosef agree. As follows, Chuvikata Ashirai, if you put a cup, I mean number 9 on the first line, if you put a cup over clothing, but Yom Tava, on Yom Tov, Shabbos makes no difference here. My time, what's the reason? Mishum de kemoilid recha, you're creating a smell. Now, umay shanim imoilaloyu mareach bo, v'kotmu mareach bo, what's the difference between this and taking a stick? Imagine you had a stick of, what do you call it? Yeah, it's a lavender, whatever it is. It was not attached to the ground, cinnamon stick. Not attached to the ground, because if you pull it out of the ground, that's a separate issue. But are you allowed to kind of break it and roll it and rub it and make it smell? Yes, 100%. That you're allowed to do, says the Gemara. Therefore, why is the issue with the scent in the clothes different from rubbing the stick and making it smell more, which you are allowed to do? Why is that different? So the Gemara says, Hacha, uludi hu de kamolid recha. In the case of the clothes, you're creating a new scent. In the case of the stick, you're just bringing out the scent that's already there. In the case of the clothing, it's something new. Rashi explains this. Rashi is going to be important. Nichnas v'cheres, in this case maybe it's going into it's not just clothing, but it's also some kind of pottery. Shaloi haya boreach, and it wasn't there before. There was no smell there before. V'asa mid rabbonon, and it's prohibited on a rabbinic level. Shehamoled avachadash, because if you do this thing called moled, you make this new thing. Karov hu la'ose malacha chadash. It's close to, it's similar to, it's bordering upon some kind of malacha. Now, it's not really a malacha, because it doesn't fall into the 39 malachot. But molid means you're doing something, and people, you're creating something new, surely. And that's molid. Chazal. And the question is, how do you define molid? Is it a catch-all, wherever you're doing something that looks as though you're creating something new? Oh, that's called molid. Or is it very specifically defined? Yes.
So does that mean that you can only crush one thing?
Oh, now you're all okay. The next source. Come on, I get that. Let's get that. It's a problem. Spraying perfume on your skin on Shabbos is fine. Spraying perfume on your clothing on Shabbos is not. That's the halacha. Fine, so spray your perfume and then put the clothes on. The girls these days, what they do is they spray in the air and then walk through it. The question is that the same thing? Is that's not because of Hilchos Shabbos, this is just what they do, that's how they did the spray. So is that called spraying it on your clothes, or is that just called walking through, you know, that's an interesting shaila. The Magen Avraham addresses these questions of what's called new, how new is new. And he looked at this Magen Avraham, because again, you have to be thinking all the time, how is this now going to translate into electricity? Because that's what Rav Yitzchak Shmelka said, and we'll see soon. The Magen Avraham says, V'afagav, number 11, de musa lemilol asavim, you're allowed to rub the grasses and rub the cinnamon sticks, no question. Okay, because he's going, by the way, I missed out number 10. Number 10 is the Shulchan Aruch, which paskens this exact halacha. Look for a second, number 10. Also, this chav kais mevusam, you're not allowed to upturn a scented cup. Ala bagadim, mishum demoli bahim reche. Straightforward, he says you're not allowed to do it. The Magen Avraham says, it's not like the sticks or the cinnamon. The hasam, over there, reicha miha isa. There is smell in it. V'asufi kalikamosif, you're just adding to that smell. The ein lahavi raya mikan de begit shemireh fa'ah, but what happens if your clothes already smell? There's already scent. It's not scentless. The clothes are scented. And don't tell me musali ten alav besamim shiyireh yoter. You want to up the level of the scent. Don't tell me that's okay. It's not. The shami hachashe areich husham. It's different with the twigs, with the cinnamon sticks, because the smell is mamash, it's in there. Rakshi moisifu b'mililuk, you're just rubbing it to get it out. Sheyetzeharech, so it should come out. Masha'en came bebeged, that's not the case with the clothing, the mikol makam moisif reich chadash. It's new smell, it's reich chadash. That you're not allowed to do. But, just to confuse matters even more, he says at the end, mikol makam esrog, if you have an esrog, Shehaya munach me'erev yontef ala begin, and it was lying on in a cloth on erev yontef. V'natloi, and then you take it out on yontef to shake the esrog. Mutzalahach zero be yontef, you are allowed to put the esrog back into the cloth. De'einu mereach yoter bishvil kach, because it does, that's not called new smell. Now, there's no question that if you put the esrog back, it will make it smell more. It can't not make it smell more if the esrog still smells. He says, but that doesn't count as new smell. So where does this leave us? You're not allowed to introduce smell. To increase the level of new smell is also prohibited. But to just put something back that was there before, even though that kind of inevitably will increase it a little bit, that seems to be okay. And the truth is that the Shulchan Aruch Harav picks this up, and he says, number 12, im kvar haya munach min, Bosem ze al begid ze. If you already had from beforehand certain smell on a certain clothing, the inish kvar nichnas reach bosem, that the smell had already gone in be begid, mutala anich alav be yomtev od mi min bosem ze. He goes even further. He says if there was a certain kind of smell, let's say you put lavender smell into your clothes on Friday, he says you can put extra lavender smell in. Kedei lahoisif reach bosem ze be begid. Aval osel hanich alav min bosem acher, but you can't now put jasmine smell on. That's not allowed. That's different. Shaharihu moilid reich chadash bebeged beyontif. Now, let's put this into electricity. So if turning the electricity on is called molid, because it's analogous to the smell, what about turning the electricity up? Is that called putting in new smell? More of the same old smell? Is that like putting the esrog back into the cloth, in which case the Magen Avraham says, that's okay? Or is that like a whole new thing? You're turning it up. Does it make a difference to what comes out of it at the end? For example, let's say my radio is on, but it's inaudible. But it's on, it's turned on. So am I allowed to turn the volume up? Let's say not just for fun, but let's say there's a reason that I need to turn the volume up. Not life and death. If it's life and death, there's nothing to talk about. But there's a reason. Is that called putting in brand new smell, because before the radio was inaudible, now the radio is audible, so whatever I put in, that's made a big difference? Or is that not? What if the radio was audible? It was quiet, and now it's louder. Is that called the esrog? You see how the difficulty comes with moled, that exactly how am I going to be magdir it? How am I going to categorize it so that it is it's clearly analogous to moled? Now, this was Rav Yitzchak Shmelka's at the end of the 19th century. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, in his youth, he was in his 20s, in the 1930s, I suppose, early 30s, mid-30s, he wrote a series of letters about electricity to the Chazon Ish. We'll see the Chazon Ish in a minute. The Chazon Ish had a different take. And he didn't think that Rav Shmelka's really was correct. I mean, he was young, and it was difficult for him to argue at that time, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, with someone of the stature of Rosh Melchus, who I suppose was no longer alive by this stage, but he felt it was not Molid. It's not going to be Molid. What it is, we'll see. And the reasons he gives are as follows. Look at the top of page 6. He gives a number of reasons why this is not going to be Molid. Number one, he says, this is not something new. This is called Derech Tashmisho. What's Derech Tashmisho? We're learning lots of Hilchos Shabbos here. What's Derech Tashmisho? Derech Tashmisho means, this is not making a new thing, like creating, like Rash said. This is just the way you use it. For example, there is a halakhic prohibition of destroying a wall or building a wall. Destroying a wall is Tzoyser, and building a wall is Binyan. Fine. So if I have a wall and I bang a hole through the wall, so that's a problem. If I brick it up again, that's a separate problem. What if I have a hole in the wall that has a window in it? And I open the window. Now there's a hole in the wall. You're going to tell me that's Tzoyser? I've destroyed a wall. There was a wall. Nothing could get through. Now there's no wall. And then I close the window. Oh, that's Binyan. You've built now a wall. No. No one would argue that closing and opening a door, closing and opening a window is a problem. Why? Because it's designed to do that. That's how it works. It's part of the wall. It opens and closes. If you take a lid off a kli and put the lid back on again, no one's going to say, oh, that's called making a kli on Shabbos. You made a kli because now it's usable. No, that's called taking the lid on and putting the lid, taking the lid off, putting the lid on. That's how you use it. Derech Tashmisho. So too, he says, electricity is not like a new thing. Like a beged where you put new scent in it. Oh, that's a new beged now. It's a beautiful smelling beged. Here, this is the way you use it. You turn it on, turn it off, you turn it on, turn it off. It can't be molid if it's, that's the way it's used. Also, he says, molid has to be sensed. You have to be able to see it or smell it or something. Can you say molid with electricity? I turn it on, I turn it off, it looks the same. You can't sense it. Well, you could. You could grab the wire and see what happens. And if you're earthed and standing on the ground, then you certainly will sense it. Especially if it's 240 volts. Does that count? Is that called sensing something, that you'll get an electric shock? It's not, if I suppose it's touch, isn't it? But it's not smelling or it's not seeing, etc. So that was a question he raised. And he also asked, can we invent new molids? Chazal said the smell example is molid. Maybe that's it. Who's to say that we can start saying, well, maybe this isn't, maybe that isn't, maybe this isn't electricity? They obviously have no concept of electricity, and therefore Rav Shlomo Zalman says maybe we can't introduce new things. For example, there's no prohibition of making heat on Shabbos. There may be a problem of Bishul, there may be a problem of Eish, but just to take something and making it a bit warmer, make it a bit warmer. Who said that was a prohibition? That's not a prohibition in and of itself. And therefore, you can't just invent new things and say, oh, that's molid and that's molid. Others say, no, molid is a catch-all. So that's the first approach, which is Rav Shmelka's, that electricity in and of itself is molid. Let's have a look at the Chazon Ish. This is the only other one that we're really going to look at in detail, which is as follows. The Chazon Ish lived a generation after Rav Shmelka's, and he writes as follows in the Sefer Chazon Ish. Look in number 13. Hamadlik ner chashmel b'shabbat. It talks about lighting electrical lights. Yesh bazer mishum tikkun mana. Maybe this is a malacha of tikkun mana. You're creating something new, creating a new kli. We'll get to that soon. Kevan shema midu al tchunato, because you're now making it work the way it was meant to work, and now it does work. It's actually usable. Lizrom et zerem hachashmal b'tzmidut, and now it will flow with electricity. Before it didn't, now it does. That's tikkun mana. The karav hadavar, and I think it's even getting close. Dezeh bone min haTorah. Oh, that raised the stakes. Bone min haTorah. I think this is building, says the Chazon Ish. Closing a circuit, making electricity flow, is building. That's a Torah prohibition. Ka'oisekli, just like making a kli. With a kol shekein kan, all the more so, shekol achutim mechubarim levayit. When everything is connected to the house, what's he getting at? There's this question as to whether there's yesh binyan bekelim or ein binyan bekelim. The whole halakhic discussion. If I build a house, for sure that's called boner. If I build a, if I screw something together, is that called boner? So the Gemara debates, maybe yes, maybe no. He says, even if you said no, it's not a problem of boner with a kli, here the thing's connected to the house. It's actually part of the wiring of the house. That's called mechuba lekarka. The ein kan mishum ein binyan bekelim, and therefore there's no issue of ein binyan bekelim. Eladinuk mechuba. It's connected to the house. Real boina. The yesh bo mishum binyan v'stira, therefore turning it on is binyan, turning it off is stira. Aval hacha ein of kusa b'zeh. I don't even care here if it is a kli. Da'afilu b'kelim chi agav nechoshiv boni. Even with kelim, because it's so tight, it's so secure in that sense, it would even be boni. Uba pesichas hachashmal, when you turn on the electricity. Shemachnisim azerim b'achutim. Look at his words carefully. The electrical current goes into the wires. Chashiv la'olam k'tka. This is called fixing something together. And he brings up this issue of a painter's rod that they have. I think they still have this. If you need the roller of the wall, and there's a very, very, very high wall, so they can screw in an extension to the rod so they can get up to the top. That's obviously very old. They had that even in the times of the Gemara. If you say this kanashal sayadim after tika enu elamid rabbanan, even if you want to argue that's rabbinic, which there's a debate about. Hainu dafka bahar kava shel bet geshamim. That's because it's clearly two things. This and this screwed together, but they were two things. She'ef shel achashman kishnaim. You can still see they're two things. She'mishtefim bepula achas. They just join together to get you the roller to the top of the wall. Ve'ein hatka machros legeshem echad. It's not called one item. Kol shipiru kan nachutz la'tich shel namuch. Because you can unscrew them easily and do the bottom of the wall. Avav. And here's the key words. Tikun surah lahageshe. If you take surah, if you take form and function and add it to material, v'nasa al yedeh shimush, and you make it usable, vadai choshiv bona. That is called binyan. What's he talking about? What is binyan? We think of binyan in very kind of material ways. You take a brick, you take another brick, you take another brick. That's called binyan. Says the Chazon Ish, no, binyan is conceptual. Binyan is when you take this, and you add it to that, then you make something new, conceptually. Think of it as follows. I have a wall, that's a wall. I have a nail, that's a nail. A wall and a nail is always a wall and a nail. But if I bang the nail into the wall, that's a hook. Oh. The wall plus nail equals hook. It's not just wall plus nail anymore. It's nothing new, it's a hook. That's a new thing. So says the Chazon Ish, when you take electricity, you put the current, alone the current is unusable. The wires are also unusable. When you put the two together, elektrische Verbindung, you end up with a new compound. It's a brand new thing. He says, that's not just molid on a rabbinic level. That's boina on a doraisa level. That's what boina is. So to turn on the lights, or the not lights, not any electricity, anything where there's an electrical circuitry, where there's new electricity going in, will be doraisa to turn it on, doraisa to turn it off. And as I said, that's raised the stakes. Because when we were dealing with Moilid, we can start thinking, well, you know, if it's rabbinic, maybe there are circumstances in the hospitals for sick people, for security issues, there's what to talk about. But once you're dealing with Doraisas, Binyan and Stira, I don't have much maneuvering room. It's going to be Pikuach Nefesh or nothing. What can I do? So the Chazon Ish came in here very clearly and said this. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman wrote back to him. And don't forget, there was something like 40 or 50 years between them. And wrote back to him, he said, respectfully, I just don't understand how this is binyan. Again, it's binyan to put a new window into the wall. But to open and close the window, what did we say before? That's derech tashmisho. That's just the way you use it. That's not binyan. So why is that not the case with electricity? It's designed to be turned on, designed to be turned off. And he has various different arguments which I've said out there that no one would call this building, this is not analogous to building, and he disagreed. The Chazon Ish wrote back to him and said to him, no, I really think it is, because it's not like heat. The Rav Shlomo Zalman said, it's just like heat. When you put heat into a piece of metal, it doesn't become a new thing. It's fine, that's electricity is the same. And the Chazon Ish wrote back and said, no, heat's different. Heat is not part of the metal, it's just... This is where it gets physically very difficult, because heat really is part of the metal. What's the difference physically between metal which is cool and metal which is hot? It's just the speed at which the atoms are, like, you know, active, in a sense. So the Chazon Ish wanted to say that heat's different. Heat's not a problem. Electricity is a problem because there's something, you're making something new. Rav Shlomo Zalman wrote back again, The Chazon Ish wrote back again, and Rav Shlomo Zalman said, "I'm just too embarrassed to write back again. I can't write back again." This is the Gadol Hador. I feel like he's a young 20-something-year-old man. It's not kedai for me to, it's a chutzpah for me to write back again. But at the end of the day, he said he just did not agree with the Chazon Ish. He didn't think he was Binyan. We'll see what he thought it was in a minute. Let's just look at one other thing in some detail, and then we'll bring things to a close. So what do we have so far? Turning on a circuit could be molid because of the scent on the clothing. It could be binyan and stira, which is a higher level of erikos, it's d'oraita. The Chazon Ish also mentioned makeh b'patish. What's makeh b'patish? Makeh b'patish is when, let's say you take a kli, let's say you have a necklace, and one of the links is broken, and it doesn't function as a necklace. So you take a little pair of pliers, and you twist it together, and you push the link together, and now it's a necklace, now it works. That's also on Shabbos d'oraita, it's makeh b'patish. Because before it was a non-functional necklace, and now it's a functional necklace. It's got nothing to do with binyan or stira, it's nothing to do with the ground. Now it works, yes.
A regular necklace that you...
Good, because derech tashmisha, we're back to that again. If it was designed to be open and closed and open and closed. But this, I'm talking about when it's broken. It doesn't work. So now you stick it together, now it works. So are we going to say that here? So if you look here, the Rambam says in number 15, Kol dava shehu gmar malacha. Whenever you finish off work on an item, chayav alav mishum makeh b'patish. That's called makeh b'patish. And he brings some examples of makeh b'patish, which are d'oraita. Rav Osha Weiss, who is a very, very important contemporary poisek, an up-and-coming, very senior halachic figure in across the different communities. Very unusual. If you know about him, you'll know the gadlus of his work and his writings. But he's a highly unusual individual because, again, he came to speak to my son in the Gush, in Gush Etzion a couple of years ago to the yeshiva. He's respected across the different worlds, in the Haredi world, in the religious Zionist world. He speaks beautiful Hebrew, he speaks beautiful English, he speaks beautiful Yiddish. He's a Talmud Chacham of immense proportions. He has a series of tshuvas, and he brings a very interesting Gemara. He wants to say that electricity could be makeh b'patish. And he says as follows, look at this Gemara, it's an astounding chiddush. Number 16. The Gemara in Yerushalmi says, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, and Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish were learning Hilchas Shabbos. They were chavrusas, as I'm sure you know. Havim b'hada pirke, talashani v'pagat, palug, they were learning 3.5 years. Hilchas Shabbos, going through each malacha, malacha by malacha. It takes 3.5 years, you probably know. Afkun minei arba chasa acha told us al kol chada v'chada. And they were trying to identify which are the Av Malachas, which are the prototype 39 Malachas, and which are the Toldas. What's a Tolda? A Tolda is a derivative, also prohibited on a Torah level, but it's not the prototype. I'll give you an example. Planting a plant on Shabbos is Zoreya. That's the Av Malacha of Zoreya, planting. If you do something which promotes plant growth, you fertilize, or you water, or you prune, or something like that, that's going to be a tolda of Zoreya, because it's not the prototype sticking the plant in the ground, but it achieves the same object. That is also d'oraita. So it says that on every one of the 39 malachas, they learn 39 toldas. So they're really stacking them up. 39 times 39, they're fitting each one. Now look at what it says. Manda ashkechan mismach, if they found something that fitted, Samchun, then they fitted it on that. Like I said, watering a plant, they say, oh, that goes with Zoreya. Perfect. But Hadaloy Ashkan Masmach, whatever they didn't, couldn't really fit with anything. So what did they do? Avdunim Shem Makeh B'Patish. They said, well, stick that with Makeh B'Patish. What does that mean? Meaning, we understood until now, at least I understood until now, that, look, if it's one of the 39 Malachas, that's why it's prohibited. If it's not, well, if it's not Osa, then it must be Mutter, right? I mean, what other choices do you have? The Gemara here seems to be saying that's not how it works. First of all, they worked out what they thought needed to be Osa on Shabbos. Then they tried to fit it with why it's Osa, and anything they couldn't fit specifically with one of the Makeh b'Patish.
Yes,
stick it in there. So Rav says, Rav Asher Weiss, you see here that it's kind of the other way around from what we thought. Some things just feel Osa on Shabbos, and they may be makeh b'patish. And he brings a proof from the Rambam. Look at this Rambam. Number 17. This is astounding. Hamafis shchin b'Shabbos. If you want to lance a boil on Shabbos, So the Gemara says you're not allowed to lance a boil on Shabbos. Makhi b'patish. Okay? Kedei laharchiv piya makhi. You want to open up the boil so that the pus can come out, etc. Kederech sheharoifin oisin, like the doctors do. Shehein mitkavnin b'refuah, and they're trying to heal it. You're not allowed to do that. Laharchiv piya makha, to try and open up the boil. Hari ze chayv mishum makhi b'patish. Okay? Makhi b'patish. Why? Why is this makhi b'patish? So look at what he says. Shezo hi melechet haroifa. This is the doctor malacha. The doctor malacha? Since when has one of the 39 malachas been melechet haroifa? That's what doctors do. Okay, but is it osa? Yes, because that's what doctors do. That's the malacha of the roifin. Says Rav Asher Weiss, you see here, the Rambam seems to basically have said, why is it also? Because it's the malacha of doctors in Makhi B'Patish, and therefore he wants to argue that his tshuva there is turning on a lead light. He says it's clearly also, and the reason it's also is Makhi B'Patish. There are a number of other options, and I'll just deal with one final one when we finish. Some people talk about creating sparks. Not so relevant now, because most electrical items do not make sparks. If every time you dial a number on your cell phone, sparks are coming out, then you need to speak to someone about that. That is not healthy. Similarly, people talk about causing additional electrical consumption of the power grid. If you turn on the power, then it's making people turn up the dials and making more power generation. Well, in Chutz La'aretz, that's not a problem, because there's a lot of non-Jewish people who are doing the same thing, and the non-Jewish workers are doing it for them. In Israel, this is a whole shirin of itself. Are you allowed to connect to the electricity grid here in Israel and cause Jewish workers to turn up Jewish dials? Not now. You'll know that people have generators on Shabbos and don't do that. But I just want to finish off with one point, which I'll not read the source, but I'll just mention it. Source 18, and this will finish. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, as I said to you before, has gone through all the options. He doesn't like Moilid. He says he doesn't think it's Moilid. The Chazon Ish, he wrote to and back, and he says he doesn't think it's Boiner. He says he doesn't think it's Makhi B'Patish. The sparks are not a problem, because he says for all sorts of reasons that you didn't intend them, and then momentarily there's no Bishul, because he doesn't get hot most of the time. So what is it? What's the problem? And you know what he says at the end? He says, I don't really know what the problem is with electricity on Shabbos. You can read number 18. Just look quickly. If you don't light any lights up, or kibbo, you'll turn them off. Ki mechaber raket a telephone, you're just connecting the circuitry. Imazerim. Ain't last on the Shabbos and Yom Tov. I don't know why it's off on Shabbos. Loy mishum back in the patis, loy mishum moilid. Then he says, but of course you have to be careful with people, because if you allow people to do this, then they won't make the distinctions. They'll start turning the lights on, and we know that the lights is a halakhic prohibition on a Doraita level. But then he says on the fourth line, Achma Ese, but what can I do now as a young man in the 1930s? Shikfa Horazakin, the elder of the last century, has already ruled, Vuagon Rav Yitzchak Shmelkes, and he already said it's Moilid. And therefore we'll go with Moilid. But I'm not sure, he says, why exactly it's Moilid. But that's what's Mekubal now. And therefore, if you ask most poskim today about what is the status of, let's call it raw electricity without anything else coming out of the end, they will go with Moilid. Most people do not agree with the Chazon Ish and say that it's not Boiner, it's not a Doraita, but it's a rabbinic prohibition. This, of course, gives us a lot of opportunities when it comes to security issues and health issues, etc., to start devising, and this is where we segue to next week, Tzomet can start coming along and devising all sorts of new gadgets on the basis that if the electricity problem is Moilid to start with, which is rabbinic, then that gives us a certain amount of room to create new things and innovate, which we'll see next week how all of that works. So that's the groundwork. Next week, please God, we'll go further. Have a wonderful week.